Shouts of salvation are rending the sky. That verse, that song there says, "And thus shall thy light break forth as the morning." You know, that's isn't that what, as believers, what we're looking forward to? Brother James made the comment when he gave that song. He said, "There's some beautiful phrases in here." And so I wanted to think a little bit today about that word, beautiful, and how we look at it. Ecclesiastes 3:10 says, "I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." He hath made everything beautiful. That's God. And when we think of beauty, you know, we see beautiful sunsets. You know, it's just beyond. We just stand there in awe and look at them. You know, everything's a little bit brown now. It's wet, and that's nice. We needed this, and it was a real. Refreshing this morning to step outside in the, while it's still dark, and it's raining. It's actually wet out there. And, you know, we see the northern lights. It's been several years back that I remember seeing them quite a few times in the north. You know, it's just what God made is beautiful, and it's beyond. We're coming into the Christmas season here. There's a lot of lights. There's a lot of, you might say, pretty things. But regardless of how much a place is lit up, how much goes into it, it's still not. I don't believe we can say it's beautiful. It might be neat, or there might be something that it's attractive. But it's so different from what, so far below what God. The beauty that God, the way he paints the skies and what he does. Last night we had the privilege, yesterday afternoon, a lot of you were involved on this side of the house anyway, in a party. And that was a baby shower. Make sure I say the right thing there. And, you know, as I think of that and the thought and the anticipation that goes into there, you know, every one of you parents out there, as you think of that first time you held that newborn little one in your hands, you know, it's scary. It's, you know, here's something that God has made so perfectly, so beautiful. It's a miracle. And it's, you know, it's God's creation. As I thought about that, and you think of all the little ones that were standing up here this morning, you know, so quickly it goes from that stage to this stage, and pretty soon it's, you know, time keeps moving. But it's these little ones that are coming on that keep. If it weren't for that, it would end soon. And it's beautiful, and it brings a sense of responsibility, a sense of, you know, how small we are and how great God is. You know, we sing the song, "How beautiful heaven must be." And they sang that song this morning, "Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there." And as we think of the coming into the Christmas season, we think of Christ coming as a baby and the Creator. And I think some of the words in our Sunday school text this morning are some of the most beautiful words we have in Scripture. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You know, beautiful words. Words that we can cling to. You know, as we think of his design, his care for mankind, and his desire to give them good things, we think of the beauty of heaven. You know, we have a little picture in Scripture. John in Revelation gives us a picture of his view of what heaven was like. And it's beautiful, but I think it was, again, it's something he tried to put into words. I think it's so far, there's so much there that it just gives us a little glimpse of how beautiful heaven is. And so, you know, we get, Andy mentioned the cares and the things we get so bogged down with. And sometimes I think we need to just come back and focus on what God has done for us and what He wants for His people and what He has prepared for us. And we need to think about that and think about the beauty of heaven. You know, we can't let ourselves get too busy down here to forget what God has for us. You know, I've heard somebody recently talking about going on a trip or going somewhere, and they were getting information out. They wanted to know what was there. They wanted to know, you know, where they were going to go and what the things that were there to see. And you know, ultimately, isn't that as His children being a part of that kingdom here on earth? You know, we should be looking forward to. We should be looking into. We should be looking. You know, where are we going? What is there? You know, we want to know all we can know about it. You know, heaven, the place of supreme beauty. The psalmist says in Psalms 90, verse 17, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." You know, is there ever anything more beautiful than that story of Jesus' birth? That picture of Jesus walking up and down on this earth among men in tenderness, in humility, healing the sick, raising the dead, giving life, forgiving sinners, restoring, restoration. That's what He came for. Is there anything more wonderful than His going to the cross to die for us, to die for those that were crucifying Him? Now, there was the Creator of mankind walking among men. We have several verses. I'm just going to quote a few phrases from Luke 10:18. He says, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." In John 8:58, Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." John 1:18, "He was the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father." You know, that's Christ. That's who He was. Beauty centers around Christ. You know, I think that's the reason that we have something to sing about. We have something to sing about all the time. We have something to sing about this time of the year. Those beautiful Christmas songs. We have something to sing about. Maybe Easter is more beautiful. We sing that song, "Up from the grave He arose." You know, beautiful, beautiful words. We serve a God, a risen Lord. We serve one that is alive today, not somebody that we're not. It's the only religion that their Lord is alive. "Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor." You know, it's beautiful words. You know, we can worship Him wherever we are. We can worship Him here. We can worship Him wherever we find ourselves. You know, it's the internal beauty that is beautiful. You know, heaven is beautiful because it's an expression of that perfection of beauty. But the other side of that is we are also, where heaven is beautiful, there's also a place that is just as low as we can. There's just there's just nothing beautiful in hell. It's such an opposite. The depth of ugliness, you might say. And we're living here on this earth between that place. We're living here where there, you might say, we have a touch, we have both. You know, if you read, you don't have to read much, and you see the ugliness of that can be here. And the devastation, just all the terrible things that are going on. You know, but that day is going to, that's not going, that will one day come to an end, and it will be divided. there will be no more of this what we have here, being together on the same planet, will be no more. You know, nothing bad is beautiful. It's not possible for anything bad to be beautiful. The scripture said we're to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's in Psalms 29, verse 2. You know, I think it's possible for an unholy thing to be maybe pretty or attractive, but it's not possible for it to be beautiful. Only that which is holy can ultimately be beautiful. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness, the perfection of beauty, the fact that only God is perfect. It all fits together beautifully. Now, if we think of the most terrible place, the most of a prison, the worst place that could be, is the opposite of beauty. All wisdom is gone. All holiness is gone. All goodness is absent. There's no justice, no mercy, no love, no kindness, no grace, tenderness, or charity, but only unholiness. You know, that's what we have been saved from. That's why He came. That's why He came to that's why He gave His life for us, that we can be saved from that terrible place of ugliness. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isaiah 52 verse 7 says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." You know, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. You know, just because somebody's bringing good tidings of peace doesn't mean they're going to face peace. And just recently, this past week or week before, there was in Chicago, downtown Chicago, there was a young man that was involved at the Salvation Army, and he was very outspoken. He was 21 years old. He took his Bible with him everywhere he went, spoke out for Christ. And he had policemen telling him, he said, "You know, you better quit doing that. You're in dangerous territory to be doing this." And he said, "Well, that's what I'm called to do. That's what," he said, "if something happens to me, it does. That's okay. I'm ready." And, you know, he walked out with his Bible in hand, dressed in his Salvation Army uniform, and was shot dead. It was the end of his life here. But, you know, I believe he spoke loudly. He gave a clear testimony of who he was, where his connection was, and what he believed. And he was very vocal in that, and that's probably most likely why he met the fate he did. You know, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. You know, where do we find ourselves? Are we bringing good tidings of peace this time of the year, any time of the year? Are we willing to speak out? Do people know where we stand? You know, in the midst of all the evil and all the things we face here, you know, people are looking, they're seeking for something better. And Jesus Christ is God come to us. In 2 Corinthians 5, I'd like to read a couple verses there. 2 Corinthians 5, if you want to turn with me. Or we start with verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Maybe I'll stop there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I think that's what we're hearing, talking about here this morning in our Sunday school lesson. You know, Jesus said, you must be born again. You must, there must be a, old things are passed away, all things are become new. Everything is different for the child of God. There's a different, what before was important, those things that were so important to us before are put down. You know, our focus is on Christ and what he has done for us. You know, how beautiful that he came to us, walked among us, you know, in the form of man, bearing on himself our humanity, that he might cleanse us, purify us, purge, remake, restore, in order to take us back with him again to that place of which is the perfection of beauty. Let's kneel for prayer.